Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara here is discussing the piece of the Mishnah. It says, "Ein gonev achar ganav mishalem tashlumei kefel." A thief that steals from another thief doesn't pay kefel because the first thief doesn't really own it. If he doesn't really own it, then you're not stealing from someone in order to be chayav in kefel. Amarav, lo shanu elo lifnei yeush. That's only true if this happened before yeush. Aval de'achar yeush kano ganav arishon. After Yeush, the first Ganav takes possession of it. V'ganav sheni mishalem tashlum mekefel. The Ganav Rishon now becomes the official Balim over it because of the fact that there was Yeush. And then the second Ganav now is stealing from the new Balim of this object. And therefore he's going to be pay kefel if he's caught with the Gneva. So now, Rav's statement here is similar to what Rabba said before, which is Rav's statement here is that Yeush by itself is sufficient to create a Kinyan. And Rabba said it earlier that Yeush by itself is sufficient to create a Kinyan. And the truth is that the questions that we ask on Rab here could have been asked on Rabba there. The questions that we asked on Rabba there could be asked on Rabba here. Just that in context of where they said it, the Gemara asked the questions that are relevant. Rab said his statement about Gneva. Therefore, all the questions here relate to Gneva. Rabba said his statement over there with regards to Gzela. And therefore, all the questions there deal with that aspect of Gzela. But the truth is, they are of the same opinion, and all of the issues that we raise in either place are equally problematic for each one of them. Whatever answers we give here will apply to the other one as well. So now, Amar Rav Sheshet, Amina, Kinaim Vishochiv Rav, Amar Lahashmaitita. When Rav was dozing off, he must have said this. That's like a code word from Rav Sheshet to say that it can't be true. There's no way Rav said anything like this. Titania, Amar Rav Yekiva, Bipnei ma amra Torah, tavachu machar, mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Someone who does tvicha or mechira pays 4 or 5 times. Bipnei shenishtaresh b'chet. Because he's rooted in the sin. Now the way that Rashi translates over here, nishtaresh, means that he did something that was efficacious. He did an act that has impact over here. And since he did an act that has impact, and has effect on the gzela that he did. Therefore, he's penalized because of the fact that he actually accomplished something over here. He did something that was effective. And the Gemara says, Eimat, how exactly do you have an effective part of the gzela by tvicha mechira? Which is, ilem lifnei yeush, if we're talking about before yeush, mi'ika nishtarish. It can't be that there's anything that goes into effect. Because even if you believe that Yeush by itself is not sufficient, everybody agrees that in order for Shinu Rishut to be a sufficient to create a Kinyan for the individual, you also need Yeush. So you need Shinu Rishut and Yeush. So for before Yeush, there's nobody who thinks that there was a effective Gzeila here. You didn't change possession of the item. You didn't do anything that, either according to the Rabbeinu Hananel, finalized the Gzeila or the Gneva. You did something that basically brought into your possession through the Avera. Or according to Rashi, you did something that was effective. Ela lachar Yeush. If really meant after Yeush, Vesach adatcha Yeush kani, amay mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha. So it must be that the scenario here is after Yeush, because only after Yeush is there a possibility of you taking possession of the item and becoming nishtaresh. Then, for the person who thinks that Yeush by itself is sufficient, then you've already crossed the line of Yeush. Once you cross the line of Yeush, it's already in your possession. It's in your possession, then we have a principle, which is, why would you have to pay Teshlumi Abayuchim Shah? Shalohu Tovech, Shalohu Mocher. You're shechting your own animal, you're selling your own animal, because you've officially taken possession of it. So if that's the case, it shows you that it's clear that Yeush by itself is not sufficient. If you say that you need Yeush and Shinei Rishut, then I understand. You have the Yeush Balim, and then after you sell it, that selling is what creates the transition to make it into yours fully, or really into the lokeach, the buyer's possession fully. And that's why nishtarei shachet, that's why you were successful now, because the object is now moved from the possession of the balim into your possession, or now to the buyer's possession. And in that action, that's why you're chayev arba'a, because of that. So the Gemara says, no, amrei kedama rova, like Rova says, we're going to see later on today, zamud, we're going to see what Rova says, mipnei shishana b'chet, because he was doubled, or he was consistent or persistent in the sin. Also over here, because he was persistent or consistent in the chet, meaning that not only did he steal, but then he stole and he sold it on top of that. That's one way to read it. Or you can say that it wasn't enough that he sinned. in the fact that he did the gzela, but he's continuing to perpetuate the problem by selling it. And in selling it, he's going to either make it harder to get it back, impossible for him to do, Beshivat Gzela Asher Gazal, or just generally, he's a person who's active in this sin. It just doesn't end with the Gzela. He continues to be involved with this problematic item that he stole. But the Gemara wants to understand what the word Nishtaresh means. The Gemara originally thought the word Nishtaresh means that you did something effective through your action. If that's the case, then it would be a proof against Rav that Yeush by itself is Koneh. Gemara then opts to say, no, Nishtaresh doesn't mean like you think, rooted, and Rashi calls it Ahanu Masav, that your action was effective. Rather, Nishtaresh means that you rooted in a sense of you're sunk in the sin. You've actually now become rooted in the sin rather than you have been successful in your action. And so the Gemara, in altering the view of what the word Nishtaresh means, then avoids the pitfall of saying that Yeush by itself is not Kani, because then, now you could say, this is even Lifnei Yeush. Even if you sell it before Yeush, even though you're not effective when you sell it before Yeush because you didn't own it, and therefore you couldn't sell it to the other party and the original Balim can come and take it back from the sale, nevertheless, the Torah says that that is problematic. Even though you're unsuccessful at selling it, despite that fact, you are considered as if it is Ahanu Masav, or it's as if Nishtaresh Bechet, and therefore you pay the four times, even though you did nothing that was effective in terms of your sale. Rashi says over here, Alo Olam Lifnei Yeush, so now it's before Yeush, it's not a problem for Rav anymore. Even though you are not successful in what you're doing, the Torah says you're going to pay four times. Now Gemara is Tashma, Utvacho Omecharo. Matvicha She'en Achuzeret. Just like tficha is something that's permanent, it cannot be reversed. Af mechira she'eino chozeret. So too, the sale must be something that is irreversible. Eimat, how do you have a sale that's irreversible? Ilem lifnei yeush, if it's before you had yeush balim, amayeino chozeret. Why is it not reversible? Because you didn't own it to sell it. If you didn't own it to sell it, then the sale was not a proper sale, and the balim can go after the buyer and take their object back. So it must be el alachar yeush. Must be that it's after the Balim had given up hope of getting it back. If you think that there's a kinyan through yeush, amay mishalem dal behei. Once again, why would you have to pay four or five times? Shalohu toveach, shalohu mocher. As soon as the Balim give up hope of getting it back, it becomes yours. Once it's yours, you can do whatever you please with it. You want to shecht it, you want to sell it, it's irrelevant. So then why is the Gemara talking about permanent sale? Why is it talking about tvicha mechira in this manner if Yeush by itself is sufficient? Obviously, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Yeush by itself is not sufficient. You need Yeush plus the Shinu Rishut, and that's what generates the Kinyan over here. And that's what it means, that just like the tvicha is something that's permanent, so too the mechira is something that's permanent. When is the mechira permanent? If it's done after Yeush. After Yeush, the sale goes through, and there's nothing to talk about. Because now you have Yeush and Shinu Rishut, it's out of the Balim's possession, and the sale remains permanent and effective. So that's what the Gemara is suggesting over here. Once again, there would be a problem for Rav. My answer's up over here, Kedamar Rav Nachman. So this is similar to what Rav Nachman says. Again, he'll say it later on in the Amud today. Prat l'shikna l'shloshim yom. Hachanami prat l'shikna l'shloshim yom. So when it comes to, say, a permanent sale over here, it's not coming to tell you that you were successful in selling it to the point where it's irreversible, mean that you had Yeush and Shinui Rishut. That's not what it's saying here. The din that we're learning out, the Medrash Halacha that's teaching us that has to be a mechira that's permanent, what it's saying is permanent in the sense of you sell it forever. Not that you sell it for a 30-day window, or you sell it for a certain period of time, because that's more akin to a schirut, a rental, than it is to a sale. It's like a lease or a rental, not a sale. And then in that case, you would not be chayav four times because you didn't sell it. You rented it out. That's not a violation of tvicha mechira, and therefore you can't prove anything. All it's telling you is that when you sell it, you have to sell it in a manner that will obligate you, and that's only in the case where you sell it permanently. If you sell it for 30 days, you haven't effectively haven't sold it, and therefore you will not be chayav four times for that. Based on that, now Rav can explain the case once again as being lifnei yeush. If it's before yeush, then you're okay, because then there's no proof about the kinyan of yeush. It's the fact that, what did you do? Again, we'll say that it doesn't matter that you're effective in selling it. It just means that if you sell it in a manner that creates a permanent sale, or would have been a permanent sale, that is what we're looking for over here. So now the Gemara says Meitavei. We have a Braita that has three sections to the Braita, and then Braita is going to list, we're going to go through all the dinim of the three sections, and the Gemara is going to take it apart and give a number of answers for the Braita. Meitavei. Ganav, uba acher, ganavo. Sorry, so Meitavei. Ganav, somebody stole something. Uba acher, ganavo. And then someone comes and steals it from him. So the theft is taken from the thief. Harishon, the first thief, Mishalem Tashlume Kefil. He pays Kefil. Vashini, Enu Mishalem Ela Karen Bilvad. The second one only pays Karen, because the assumption here is being that there wasn't a Kinyan by the first Ganav, and therefore the second Ganav is only Chayav for Karen, not for Kefil. Ganav Umachar. If he steals it and sells it, Ubacher Vignavo. And then another party comes and steals it from the buyer. Harishon Mishalem Tashlume Arba V'Chamisha. The first one's responsible to pay four or five times from the Balim because he stole it and sold it. Vasheni, the second guy, Mishalem Teshlume Kefel, he pays Kefel to the Lokeach because he stole it from the Lokeach when the Lokeach had full possession of it. Ganav v'tavach. If he sells it and then shechs it. Uba acher uganavo. And then someone else comes along and steals the shechted item from him. Harishon Mishalem Teshlume Dal Behe. The first one has to pay four or five times because he shechted it after he stole it. Vashini, Enu Mishalem Teshlume Kefel Ela Karen Bilvad. The second guy who steals the shechted animal only pays Karen. Now this is probably the most difficult part of the Braita because Tvicha in itself, a Maaseh, an action, is enough to generate a Kinyan. If we look at all the different methods for Kinyan, you have Yeyush, which is the Machloket that we've been talking about for the last number of Dapim. Amoraim will believe that Yeyush by itself is Koneh. Others who believe that Yeyush is not Kone. The other option is what's called Shinui Rishut, when you change possession, when it changes the ownership from one individual to another. Shinui Rishut by itself is not sufficient. You need Shinui Rishut plus Yeyush. You need Yeyush Balim plus Shinui Rishut. That's also an effective Kinyan. Everybody agrees. There's a third way you can affect the Kinyan, which is Shinui Masa. If you do something actively to the object, then there's also a Kinyan, and that does not even require Yeyush. That can be done even without Yeyush because it's so significant. The change or the action that you took on the item is so significant. So if you were looking at the Braita, the most problematic part of the Braita is this last section because of the fact that he did it to Tvicha. He shechted the animal. So if he shechted the animal, it seems like he should have acquired it. It should be his. So then when someone comes and steals it from him, why is he only Chayav Karen? And now the Gemara is going to dissect this Braita. K'tani miha mitziyata. The middle case is Ganav Umachar. He stole it and then sold it. Uba acher ganavo. Then somebody steals it from the buyer. Harishon mishalem tashlume davehe. Vasheni mishalem tashlume kefel. And then the second party pays kefel. The first one because he stole and sold. That's four or five times. Now that happened, it switched ownership over to the new buyer. The new buyer has full ownership because now you have Yeyush. Let's assume that you have Yeyush in Shinui Rishut. And therefore, somebody who steals from him pays kefel. Eimat, when did this happen? Ilem lifnei Yeyush. If it happened before Yeyush, Sheni and I Mishalim Teshlume Kefel. Then it doesn't make sense that the second thief has to pay Kefel if there was no Yeyush over here. Because if there's no Yeyush, then the buyer didn't really own it. The buyer didn't really own it. When you stole it from the buyer, you're not stealing it from its owner. You're stealing it from the original owner. And that's Gunav Mibeta Ish and not Gunav Mibeta Ganav. So then he wouldn't be Chayav Kefel. Because that is Shinui Rishut Bela Yeyush. That's a change of possession without any Yeyush. Mi Kolaman Demar Dekani. Nobody thinks that that is a sufficient Kinyan. Elopshita lachar Yeyush. It must be a case where it's after Yeyush. Now, that means that what we're trying to say now is that the Yeyush and the Shinui Rishut generated the Kinyan. Again, if Yeyush is a sufficient to create a Kinyan, then why do you have to pay four or five times? The first Ganav. Didehu dezabin. Because he's selling his own item. He already took possession of it. When he sells it, it's already his that he's selling. It's not the Gneva that he's selling. It shouldn't be Chayav four or five times. So you must say that it's talking about a case that is Achar Yeyush. And if it's Achar Yeyush, that seems to show you that Yeyush by itself is not sufficient of a Kinyan. You need Yeyush and Shinui Rishut. Vitu. Tani Reisha, the first case in the Braita, Ganav, Uba Acher, Uganavo, he stole it, and then someone else comes and steals it from him. Yishom Mishalem Tashlume Kefil. The first one pays Kefil, Vashini Uenu Mishalem Ela Karen. The second only pays for Karen. Michte, Lachar Yeyush Kaimina. We already established that the Braita is talking about a case after Yeyush, because of the second case, it would be impossible to create a case where the second Ganav would be Chayav, unless there was Yeyush over here. That shows you that we have Yeyush. Well, if we have Yeyush, then why is it that the second Ganav over here in the first case of the Braita doesn't pay Kefil? Why is the second guy only chayav Karen? We said that the second guy is only chayav Karen because he's gunav mi beit ha'ish velo mi beit ha'ganav, and he stole it from the ganav. But if yeush is a sufficient to create a kinyan, then the ganav now became the owner of it. From this you would conclude that yeush is not a sufficient kinyan in of itself. Bekasha the Rav. That would be very problematic for Rav. So now we have the first answer. Amar Rava v'tisbara. You were selective in your explanation of the Braita. Hametartztahi? This Braita is really an understandable, it is a Braita that can be made to make sense, because you left out the last line in the Braita. You explained case Reisha and Mitziata, you did not explain the Seifa. And the Seifa is very problematic. Elektoni Seifa, what are you going to do with the latter piece of the Braita? Ganav v'tavach, he stole it and then shechted it. Uba acher v'gnavo, and then someone else comes and steals it from him. Yishom mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha, the first one pays 4 or 5 times because it's gneva plus tavicha. V'shein yenu mishalem ele keren, the second one only pays keren. Umi ika lama damar shinu b'mase lokani. There's nobody who says that when you do an action like tavicha, that's an irreversible action like that, that that's not a full-fledged kinyan. If that's the case, then the ganav already owns it after he shechted it. And then when the second thief comes and steals it, why doesn't he have to pay kefil? So that means that your explanation works really nicely for the Reisha and the Mitziata. But you can't explain the last line in the Braita. That already proves that this Braita is problematic. Once you prove the Braita is problematic, now we can start making adjustments in the Braita. Once you make adjustments in the Braita, we'll get to solutions for Rav now. And that's it. El Olam Kula Lifnei Yeush. The whole scenario, or all the scenarios in the Braita, are cases where it's before Yeush. The Ipuch Seifa the Mitziata, Mitziata the Seifa. And switch around the din of the middle case to the din of the latter case, and the latter case to the middle case, which is Ve'emahochi. And this is the way that you would read the Braita now. Ganav Umachar, if he steals it and then sells it, Uba'acher B'gnavo, and then someone else comes and steals it. Harishon mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha. The first one pays 4 or 5 times. Vashen yu'en lo mishalem ele keren. The second one only pays keren. Because over here, you might have had shini reshut, but there is no yeush. Remember? The way Rava is setting it up now, it's all lifnei yeush. So this second case in the Braita, which says he bought it, he sold it, and then the buyer had it stolen from him. So the first person who bought it and sold it, he has to pay arba v'chamisha, because he stole something, and then he sold the item that he had stolen. Now, when he sold it to the other party, the sale really didn't go through, because there was no Yeush Balim over here. So the Lokeach who's holding it is still really holding the possession of the original Balim. So then when the second thief comes and takes it from him, that's Gunav Beit Ish V'lo Beit HaGanav. He's stealing it from the Ganav, not from the original owners. That's the case, he only pays Karen. And that's the explanation of the Mitziata case. And the reason being, the Shinui Rishut below Yeush Lokani. Because all you have here is Shinui Rishut without Yeush, and therefore you don't have ownership transfer. If that's the case, then the second thief doesn't pay Kefil. Ganav v'tavach, here's the way you would explain the latter case now. So he stole it and then shechted it. Uba'acher v'ganavo, and someone else came along and stole it from him after he had shechted it. Rishon mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha, the first one pays 4 or 5 times because he stole it and shechted it. And the second one pays kefil, because he took acquisition of it through a shinu maseh, even with the lack of yeush, doesn't really matter, the shinu maseh is sufficient. So that's where Rava solves the problem. By doing so, Rava establishes that the Braita has nothing to do with yeush at all, because it's all lifnei yeush. And therefore, you no longer have a question on Rav. We have another possibility. Rapapa amar, lolam lo tepuch. Don't flip the Braita around. Seifa beit shamayhi. The last case in the Braita is authored or attributed to Beit Shammai. Damrei Shinui Bimkoma Omed, who say that Shinui is not sufficient, or Shinui Maise is not sufficient in order to create a Kinyan. You remember we saw that by the Etnan Zona, we had a Machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And over there, Beit Shammai said that it's still called Etnan, even after she's made the wheat into bread, or she's made the wool into a beged. Iachi. Kasha Reisho Mitziyoto, the Rav. Okay, if you do that, you solve the problem as far as the Seifa and the Braita, which is, you explain why the Seifa is different than the other two sections of the Braita, because that's attributed to Beit Shammai. But still then, the first and middle cases in the Braita are problematic for Rav, because seemingly we're talking about Lachar Yeush. which is the way that Rashi reads the Braita now, according to Rav Papa. When Rav Papa says, "Lo'olam lo tepuch," don't flip it, it means that Rav Papa is coming to say that the scenario here is the achar yeush. It's not lifnei yeush, like Rava said, but achar yeush. How do I deal with the last case in the Braita? That's Beit Shammai. Now, how do I deal with the first two cases? If it's achar yeush, the first two cases, I mean, we can explain them, but they're going to be very problematic for Rav, because if there was yeush already, you should have taken possession of them, and the first thief should not be chayav, arba v'chamisha. That's what he says. Yichachakash reisho mitziyoto l'Rav. There is an alternate reading about Rav Papa's shita that he also believes that it's in the lifnei yeush, and he's saying lo tepoch, and that what difference in the girsa that we have over here. But leaving that aside, we'll follow Rashi's view on the girsa over here, which is that then the first and middle cases are problematic for Rav. So Amar Rav Zvid, olam kula lifnei yeush. Now, the whole thing is before yeush. V'hachol ma'eskinan, shi'ashu abalim bilokeach, b'lo nityashu b'ganav. The case is that the yeush only took effect when it was in the hands of the lokeach, not when it was with the hands of the ganav. D'havale yeush, v'shinui reshut, or whether you eliminate that completely, the Gra does from the girsa. So below tema mishum debeinan yeush v'shinui reshut, and the reason is not because you need both yeush and shinui reshut. Ella avilu b'yeush luchudei namikani. So it would have worked had you just had yeush by itself. Gabe ganav. Ella do mishkachat demishal meitarvayu. We just can't come up with a scenario where both of them are going to end up paying ganav rishon v'ganav shini ella b'hochi, unless you set it up in this scenario where the yeush and shinui reshut. So what Rav Zvid is doing, or how Rav Zvid deals with the problem, is we'll go along with the view of Rav Papa here, that we're not flipping the cases. How do we explain the last case in the Braita? That's Beit Shammai. So according to Beit Shammai, shinui is not koneh, and that's why in the last case, even though you were toveach, you shechted it, you're chayav arba v'chamisha, the guy who steals it afterwards, he doesn't pay kefel, because according to Beit Shammai, there was no kinyan here. No kinyan, then there's no kefel, because it still belongs to the original individual, and it's not the balim. You're not stealing from the balim's house, you're stealing from the ganav's house. If that's the case, you don't pay kefel. So that's the explanation of the latter case. What about the first two cases? If you say that they are la'achar yeush, then they're still problematic for Rav. If they're problematic for Rav, then this braita becomes a question on Rav, and we don't want that. So what Rav Zvid suggests is, no, the first two cases are lifnei yeush. But the scenario is a case where the yeush does take effect, but only takes effect once the objects reach the possession of the buyer. So that means that, let's do the second scenario. In the second scenario where he steals it, and then he sells it, he's chayav arba v'chamisha. The second individual who bought it, it's now in his possession. Someone else comes and steals from him, he's going to pay kefel because it's in his possession. Why is it that it's in his possession? Because they had yeush when it was in the hands of the lokeach. So I have shinui reshut from the ganav to the lokeach, and then when it's in the hands of the lokeach, I have yeush now. So now I have a full change in ownership to the lokeach. Now the lokeach, if someone steals from him, it's like stealing from the balim, and you have to pay kefel. The first case in the Braita, which says that it was a case where the original ganav stole it, and then the second ganav came and stole it from him. So the first ganav pays kefel, the second ganav only pays keren, because it's gunav mibeta ish velo mibeta ganav, and here he stole from the beta ganav. If that's the case, he doesn't pay kefel. Now, had you had yeush here, then the ganav would have acquired it. So that's why we're saying it's lifnei yeush. There was no yeush over here. And therefore, the ganav never took possession of it. Since he never took possession of it, then the next ganav is only chayav keren. So then why do we explain the case here where there's yeush by the lokeach? Because if you had yeush by the ganav, you could also have the same scenario. Which means that in the second case, or the mitziyota case, if it was that there was yeush while it was in the hands of the ganav, then it could also be that we create a case where the second ganav has to pay kefel. But if you say that there's yeush when it's in the hands of the ganav owns it. Once the ganav owns it, if he sells it afterwards, he's selling his own item, and he won't pay arba chamisha. That's what the Gemara says in the end. If you want a scenario where you're going to have one guy paying four or five times, and the second guy paying kefel, that will only work if you postpone the yeush to happen only when it's in the hands of the lokeach. And that's what the scenario is. The scenario now is that it was stolen by the first individual, sold. Once he sold it, and there's no yeush over here, he's selling the item that he stole. Therefore, he's chayav arba v'chamisha. Now you have shinui reshut, but that's not sufficient in of itself to create a kinyan. So it's sitting with the lokeach. But then all of a sudden the balim say, you know what, I don't think I'm getting it back. They have yeush. that moment of Yeyush, now you have Shnei Rishut and Yeyush, and it's sitting with the Lokeach. Now Lokeach fully owns it, and if a Ganav comes and steals from him, he's going to have to pay Kefil. Now again, even though we could create the transition of ownership just with Yeyush, we can't come up with a scenario where the first one's paying Arba V'Chamisha and the second one's paying Kefil, unless we postpone the Yeyush till later, and therefore we have Shnei Rishut and Yeyush. And so that's the explanation of the Braita, but once we do that, it's no longer a problem for Rav. And now the Gemara continues and says, Itmar, Hamocher lifnei Yeyush, someone who sells before Yeyush, Rav Nachman are chayav. Rav Nachman says, you're chayav. Rav Sheshet amar patur. Rav Sheshet said, it doesn't work, you're patur. Nachman amar chayav, umecharo amar rachmana, v'hazovin. Torah says, if you steal it and you sell it, you're chayav. And that's what he did. He stole it and he sold it. Lo shna lifnei Yeyush, lo shna lachar Yeyush. Makes no difference if it's before the Balaam give up hope, but after the Balaam give up hope. You stole and sold. You're chayav. Rav Sheshet amar patur. Yuveh lachar Yeyushu. Tahanu amasav. The only time you're chayav is if you sell it after there's Yeyush, because then your action is effective. Because your action then makes it that the sale goes through. Aval lifnei Yeyush, if it's before the Yeyush, delo ahanu masav, that your sale is not an effective sale, lo mechayev. You're not chayav. Dumya tetficha. Binu ahanu masav. Just like by shechting, where your shechita is successful, meaning that you shech the animal and you kill it and you have a shinamasa, so to the mechira has to be a successful type of mechira. So now, what you have here is actually a three-way machloket. Going back, Rav believes that Yeyush by itself is sufficient to create a kinyan. Rav Sheshet and Rav Nachman both disagree with Rav and think that Yeyush by itself is not sufficient to create a kinyan. But then they argue about, once you've had geneva and mechira, what type of mechira do you need in order to be chayav? Rav Nachman suggests, any mechira, you sell it, that's what the Torah said. You sell it, you're going to be chayav arba'a v'chamisha. Does it matter whether your sale is successful, meaning that the sale goes through and it's irreversible? Or, even if the sale is reversible, are you chayav? And that's what Rav Nachman says. Rav Nachman says it doesn't matter. If you stole it and sold it, whether you sold it before Yeyush, where the sale is not a good sale, because you didn't have Yeyush and Shnei Rishut, or whether it's after Yeyush, where you sell it and it's effective, the sale, because now you have Yeyush and Shnei Rishut, in both of those cases, you're chayav arba'a v'chamisha. That's Rav Nachman's position. Rav Sheshet says, no. I agree with you, Rav Nachman, that Yeyush by itself is not koneh. But I think you're only chayav for mechira when it's an effective mechira. So that means if you sell it before Yeyush, not chayav, because your sale will not hold, your sale was not a legal sale because you're lacking Shnei Rishut and Yeyush. You only have Shnei Rishut here without any Yeyush. On the other hand, if it's done after Yeyush, then you are chayav, because then you did an effective sale. You have Yeyush plus the Shnei Rishut, together they create a kinyan, and that's when you're going to be chayav for chayav, arba v'chamisha. So again, the three opinions, Rav who says Yeyush koneh, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet who both say Yeyush is not koneh, but Rav Nachman says it's whether lifnei Yeyush or achar Yeyush, if you sell it, you will be chayav. According to Rav Sheshet, you're only chayav if you sell it after Yeyush, where you have an effective sale that is will go through and be permanent. Amar Rav Sheshet mina aminala. Okay, Rav Sheshet says, how can I prove to you, Rav Nachman, that I'm right? The Tanya. This is the bright that we brought before. Amar Rav Akiva. B'nei ma amra torah tavach u'machar. Shalem dal v'hei. That someone who has a tvichal mechira pays 4 or 5 times. B'nei shnishtaresh b'chait. Because he got rooted in the chait. Now, the definition of nishtaresh, again, we're going back to the original definition, which is nishtaresh. He was successful in his sin. Eimat. When does that happen? Ilem lifnei Yeyush. If it's before Yeyush, miyka nishtaresh. You were not successful in your sale, because before Yeyush, there is no sale. The sale is not permanent. Alav lachar Yeyushu. Must be that it's after Yeyush. And therefore, I can prove to you that you're only chayav for mechira after Yeyush when it's nishtaresh, when you're successful in your sale. And so he says, Rabbi Kiva proves my point. If you understand the word nishtaresh, like we are, that nishtaresh means either, according to Rashi, you are effective in your action, according to Rabbeinu Hanano, that your Aveira creates a permanence, meaning that the sale goes through, then that only works, lachar Yeyush. If you're talking about before Yeyush, none of those are true. So I'm proving to you that it has to be achar Yeyush. That's the only time you have chayav, arba v'chamisha. Here's Amar Rava. This is the Rava that we quoted above. No. Yivnei Shoshana b'chait. That you misunderstood the word nishtaresh over here. Nishtaresh is not what you thought. That means that you were effective in your action. According to Rabbeinu Hanano, that your sin actually created the sale, but rather nishtaresh means shoshana b'chait, which is what Rava told us before. We said before that shoshana b'chait means that he is steeped in the sin now. Whether that means that again, he's only adding to the problem when he stole it and now he's selling it. Or now his sale is only serving to compound what he did before. Or this person is just sunken in sin. He's going from one thing to the next. Whatever you want it to mean, that nishtaresh means that you're rooted in sin rather than rooted in the sense of effective or successful. Once you do that, you can even explain the case as being lifnei yeush. Because then it doesn't have to be effective, it just simply has to be that you're doing an action. On top of the gneva already, you're doing another action, which is the mechira. Tashma, utivacho mecharo, matvicha sheinu chozeret, af mechira sheinu chozeret. Again, the same thing that we mentioned before. Just like there's a hekesh between vicha mechira, and just like by shechting, it's something that is permanent, irreversible. So too, the mechira has to be something that is permanent and irreversible. Eimat, when do you have a sale that is irreversible? Ilim lifnei yeush, if it's before yeush, amayinu chozeret. Why isn't it reversible? Elalachar Yeush. Must be that it's after Yeush, and that's why the sale is irreversible. Mishmamina, Chiyuv Alachar Yeushi. Again, it shows you that the only time you're Chayav for Mechira is it's done after Yeush, when the sale is permanent. So here's the original of Rav Nachman. Tigrima Rav Nachman Trat L'Shikna Lo L'Shloshim Yom. No, you misunderstood. Permanent here is not meaning that permanent in the sense of effective sale that will remain that way versus irreversible. Whole sale mean that it has to be done after Yeush. No, rather, it just means the duration of the sale. If the sale is permanent, then even if it's done before Yeush, you'll be chayav for it. If it's a sale that is a reversible sale, meaning that it's only for 30 days, it's only for a short duration, or some duration, that's not a real sale. And since it's not a real sale, you won't be chayav for gneva umachara. But that's not to tell you that the only time that you're chayav is when you do a mechira that's permanent after Yeush. Even before Yeush, it could be the case. Vicha is permanent, so too the sale must be permanent. That's the limud. So the answer is that, what does it mean, a permanent sale? It doesn't mean you have to effectively create a permanent sale. That means you have to do an action that would have been a permanent sale. And therefore, it's not a proof to Rav Sheshet. And Rav Elazar also holds, like Rav Sheshet, that the only time you're chayav for gneva and mechira is if it's done after Yeush. Da'amar Rav Elazar, because Rav Elazar says, Teda, Shistam Gneiva Yeush Balim Hu. So he makes a statement of fact, which is that, in general, whenever you have a Gneiva, you have Yeush Balim. Shere Amra Torah, Tavach Umachar, Mishalem Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha. President of Tvichal Mechira has to pay 4 or 5 times. But why should that be? Dimalo Yayesh. Maybe the Balim didn't give up hope. Elalav Mishum De Amrinan. Must be because we say, that Stam Gneva Yeush Balim mean. That Stam Gneva involves Yeush Balim. Basically, what Rabbi Lazar's assumption is that the only way you get a Chiyuv, or an effective Chiyuv for Mechira, is if you do it after Yeush, when it would have been a permanent sale. But then how does the Torah know that you really have a permanent sale over here? The answer is, because it must be that Stam Gneva has Yeush Balim. And so together with the Yeush, you have a Shinei Rishut, and therefore you have a permanent sale. Where it says, V'dilmaf Agav Delo Yayish. Sumar says, maybe it's even if you didn't have Yeush. Who says you have to have Yeush over here? So Amri lo salkadatcho. That you wouldn't think. Dumya de tvicha. Because you want it to be similar to shechting. Mat vicha dahanu masav. Af mechira dahanu masav. Just like the case of tvicha is that he's successful in doing whatever he's trying to do. Shech the animal. Do something irreversible. Af mechira dahanu masav. We're talking about a mechira that is a successful mechira. That will only happen if you have Yeush and Shinei Rishut. If it's before Yeush, he cannot successfully sell it. Who says that the Torah believes that a Stam Ganav is Miyayesh? Maybe it's we heard that he had Yeush over here. That you can't say. Because it's similar to shechting. Just like you shecht right away. So too, Mechira is done right away. Now, the Balei Tosafot comment over here, first of all, when they say that you shecht it right away, it doesn't literally mean the moment he steals it, he shechts it. It's that he steals it, he takes it home, and then he shechts it. So just like there, not a lot of time, but sufficient time. Therefore, we have enough time for the Balim to know that it's gone. That's what we have. Because if you do not have enough time for the Balim to know that it's gone, you have what's called Yeush Shalomidat. Again, a machloket Bayin Rova that we're going to see in the beginning of Bava Metzia, we pass on like Abaye that Yeush Shalomidat is not a Kinyan. So if that's the case, we need the Balim to know that the item is missing. So if we need the people to know that the item is missing, they have to have some time. So that's what Tosafot says. It doesn't mean the altar, you shecht it immediately. It means that you steal it, and then by the time you get home, the guy realizes the object is stolen, and now you shecht it. So So just like there by the Tvicha, that's all you have, so too by the case of Mechira, that's all you have. You have that short time from the time that he took it from the house of the Balim and took it back to his house. By that time, we already assume there's Yeush. What, you heard that he had Yeush? That's too short a time. That's why it must be that there's Stam Yeush. If there is Stam Yeush, then what Rabbi Elazar is clearly saying is that I need, in order for you to be Chayav with Tvicha Mechira, I need Shinei Rishut and Yeush. Without that, you're not going to be chayav. Or, in essence, Rabbi Elazar is saying the same thing that Rav Sheshet said, is unless you do something that is successful, you're not going to be chayav. The only way to be successful in your mechira is to sell it after Yeush. You sell it before Yeush, you're not successful at your mechira, and therefore it won't be dumia the tvicha. So you see that Rabbi Elazar holds, just like Rav Sheshet, that only if you sell it in an effective manner, meaning that you sold it after Yeush, are you chayav against that position of Rav Nachman. The Bali Tosafot on the Amud Aleph discuss what exactly is the shita of Rabbi Elazar, because we find in some places that Rabbi Elazar says that shinui maaseh is not enough of a kinyan. Yet over here it seems from Rabbi Elazar that tvicha would be sufficient as a kinyan. So then how do we reconcile that shita of Rabbi Elazar between what he said earlier and over here? So the Bali Tosva come up with a chiluk to explain the shita of Rabbi Elazar, which is even within shinui maaseh, there's different gradations of shinui maaseh. There's what's called shinui maaseh biyadayim, where you actively do something that changes the object itself, like shechita, where you act upon the object. That, Rabbi Elazar agrees, is an effective type of shinui maaseh, and you're koneh. The other hand, there's a shinui maaseh, which happens passively. For instance, the animal died. It just died by itself. That's a shinui maaseh because you have an irreversible situation. You have a dead animal, and you can't return the original animal, and there's a change in the object, but it was nothing to do with your action. It happened by itself. So there's a shinui maaseh, but you were not the precipitator of that shinui maaseh. So that's how he describes or tries to explain the difference within Rabbi Elazar's shita, to say that sometimes shinui maaseh is effective. That's when you do it b'yadayim, when it's the activity of the ganav that makes the shinui maaseh, then it's an effective to create a kinyan. If it's stam that there's a shinui maaseh, but it's not connected to the ganav himself, over there that's not effective to create a kinyan. All right, now, Amar Lei Rabbi Yochanan, Geneva b'nefesh tochiach. I'll prove to you from kidnapping that's not true. She'en Yeush Balim. Because there is no Yeush Balim. As Rashi says over here, nobody gives up hope of recovering themselves. I mean, that's just an impossibility. Nobody gives up hope on themselves. V'chayav, and nevertheless, a person who gonev ish u'mecharo, person steals someone and sells them, kidnaps and then sells them, they're chayav mita. Because the mechira happened even before there was Yeush. That means that the Mechira was not really effective, despite the fact the person's Chayav Mita. So you see from that Gneva that it doesn't mean that you need Yeush, or you don't have to have an effective Mechira. Just you're going through the action or the process of selling it, even if it's not an effective sale, that's what makes you Chayav. Just like by the kidnapping and the sale, even though it's not an effective sale, you are Chayav. So do over here. When you steal it and sell it, even though you're not effective in your sale because it was before Yeush, you're still going to be chayav. So Rabbi Yochanan is defending that position of Rav Nachman, that even though Yeush is not koneh, nevertheless, whether it's before Yeush or after Yeush, if you try to sell it in that time period, you're going to be chayav. Now, part of the problem here with Rabbi Yochanan Shita and Bali Tosafot raises is that don't we have a hekesh between Tvicha and Mechira? The whole idea that was generated by Rav Sheshet or Rabbi Elazar is the fact that there was a connection between the Tvicha and the Mechira, and that's what generated the situation here. According to Rabbi Yochanan, all of a sudden you bring in Mechira of kidnapping, what does it have to do with our scenario at all? So either you have to say that what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, but why don't you compare it to Mechira, Mechira to Mechira versus Mechira to Tvicha? And you'll come up with a different answer. If you compare selling the Behemah to the selling of a person, those are both types of Mechira, you'll see that it's not always true that it has to be the Achar Yeush. That's one way to explain it. Or the other way to explain it is Rabbi Yochanan is coming along to say you don't have to learn about Yeush from Tvicha. You might learn some things from Tvicha, but we have other paradigms from which you can learn, like kidnapping, which will teach us about Yeush. And therefore you don't have to just declare that it's Tvicha and it has to be Achar Yeush. It could be kidnapping and it'll be before Yeush. So either way, Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on Rabbi Elazar, on Rav Sheshet. You don't need it to be Achar Yeush in order to be Chayav. Michlau, the Savar Rabbi Yochanan Lifnei Yeush Chayav, the Achar Yeush Mai. From this, it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan believes if you sell it before Yeush, you're going to be Chayav. After Yeush, what is the din? What does he think? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, Reshlach Hashem Amar Patur. After Yehush, Rabbi Yochanan says you are Chayav. So he is similar to Rav Nachman before, which is, doesn't matter if before Yehush, after Yehush, you sell it, you're going to be Chayav. Reshlach Hashem Amar, you are Patur. Yochanan Amar Chayav, Chiyuvei Ben Lifnei Yehush, Ben Lachar Yehush. Yochanan says you're Chayav because the Torah obligated you whether you did it before Yehush or after Yehush. Reshlach Hashem Amar Patur. Chiyuvei Lifnei Yehush, Aval Lachar Yehush Kana. He says, wait, if it's before Yehush, then you haven't acquired it yet. You haven't acquired it yet, then you're going to be chayav if you sell it. Lachar Yehush, you're not going to be chayav for selling it because it's yours. You already acquired it. What Reish Lakish is effectively saying is, Yehush is koneh. He holds like Rav. Reish Lakish holds like Rav that Yehush is koneh by itself. And once Yehush is koneh by itself, achar Yehush, you can't sell it and then be chayav because you're selling your own object. You're not selling this stolen object anymore. And therefore, the chayush kana, v'shalohu toveach, v'shalohu mocher. He's shechting his own item, or he's selling his own item. So now, this brings us to an interesting dilemma, which Tosfot already raises, which is, Rabbi Yochanan here says that Yehush by itself is not koneh. He holds like Rav Nachman that even though Yehush is not koneh, still, whether it's lifnei Yehush or achar Yehush, the mechira will be mechayev you. On the other hand, before we had Rabba, who said that Yehush by itself is koneh. So Tosfot says we have a problem in the Klali HaPsak. Normally, we would pass like Rabba. And Rabba says, Yehush by itself is koneh. But you also know the Klai Psak when you have a machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, halacha ki Rabbi Yochanan. Over here, Reish Lakish takes up the opinion of Rabba. So if I say the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, that means now we have a stira between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba. So if it tells what it says in the end, Vesh Lamar, Def Shard, Lo Kaiman Lan, Lo Ka Rabba, but Lo Ka Rabbi Yochanan. The Kama Marai, Nechluku, B'Sheinei, Eluad Varim. Says maybe in the end, we don't hold like Rabba, we don't hold like Rabbi Yochanan, because this is such a widespread machloket here in the Amoraim about both issues, about the issue of Yehush by itself being koneh, as well as the issue of whether lifnei Yehush l'achar Yehush. So maybe over here the Gemara doesn't have to follow the regular Klali HaPsak because there's just so many other opinions. And so therefore we're not going to come up with necessarily a stira on the Klali HaPsak, which is because there's so many people on each side of this machloket that maybe the general or the normal Klali HaPsak are not applicable over here. That's the way the Balei HaTosafot explain it. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam, because of this problem of the stir on the psak between Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan, says that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi that Yehush by itself is koneh. Well, how can the Rabbeinu Tam say that? Over here, it's pretty clear that he's arguing on Reish Lakish exactly about that point. He says, this is an exception. The case here of Toveach Umocher is a Gzerat HaKatuv. Gzerat HaKatuv is that even Lachar Yehush, you are Chayav for Mechira. Because that's what the Torah says. The Torah says, Toveach u'mocher. And so it's something that's a permanent item, and it still makes you chayav. So it's over here, the mechira, even though it's yours and you're selling it, there's a gzera tatuv that you're chayav for the selling of it. And in that way, the Rabbeinu Tam solves the problem by saying that Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan, everybody holds that Yehush by itself is enough, and you have a kinyan with Yehush by itself. Over here, well, if the Yehush is enough to be koneh, then why is he chayav when he sells it achar Yehush? Gzera tatuv by gneva. That's how he solves the problem. That's the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. All right. Eitavei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish's opinion that Yehush by itself is koneh. Ganav ve'gdish. He was stole it, and then he was makdishit. V'achar kach tavach, and then he shechs it. Mishalem tashlumei keifel. He pays double. Ve'enu mishalem tashlumei arba b'chamisha. He does not pay 4 or 5 times. Eimat. What exactly is the scenario here? Ilem lifnei Yehush. If it's before Yehush, mi kadosh. How can he make it kadosh? How does he makdish something before Yehush if he doesn't own it? He can't be makdish something he doesn't own. Ish ki yakdish et beito kodesh. That's what the pasuk says. Amar Rachman, the pasuk says, ma beito shelo, just like his house is his, avko shelo. Anything that's his, he can be makdish. So over here, it's not his. He can't be makdish it. The ganav who stole it, and has yet to have Yehush balim, he doesn't own it. He doesn't own it. He can't be makdish it. Elapshita lachar Yehush. The case here must be after Yehush. So what protects him having to pay 4 or 5 times is the fact that he was makdishit. Because when he shechs it, he's shechting that which belongs to hekdesh. If it's not makdishit, tavach, mishalem tashlumi arba v'chamisha. Had he shechted it, he'd have been chayav for arba v'chamisha. If you tell me Yehush by itself is koneh, am I mishalem? Why would he have to pay 4 or 5 times? Shalohu tovech, shalohu mocher. He's shechting his own item. He's selling his own item. So what do you see here? Rabbi Yochanan says, from this brighter, what you see is that clearly this scenario here is after Yehush. Because lefnei yeush, it's before yeush, the ganav has no control or ownership in order to be makdish the animal. So it must be it's after yeush. If it's after yeush, and he goes ahead and he's makdish it, then you have yeush and shino reshut. Through the yeush and shino reshut, the ganav takes possession of it, and he's successful then in his hekdesh. Now when he sheks it, it belongs to hekdesh. It's as if he stole it from hekdesh, or he's shechting hekdesh's item. He's patur from arba v'chamisha. He's patur from four or five times. Rashi explains why, because there's no din of kefel by hekdesh, because the word re'eyu was used in the pasuk. Once there's no kefel, there's no four or five times, because the Gemara here and many other places believes that four or five times is made up of kefel plus three and four times above that, meaning that it's a combination of the kefel and the three or four times. And therefore, if you're missing kefel, if you're not chayav in kefel, you're also not chayav in arba v'chamisha. So that's why you're patur from the arba and chamisha over here, is because of the fact that you shechted a hekdesh's item. How did you make it? How is it hekdesh's item? Because you stole it. There was yeush balim, and then you have shina reshut when you're makdish it. But that means that you require, in order to not be chayav to be chamichira, you need both yeush and shina reshut. But had it been that you shechted it before hekdesh got a hold of it, meaning that you stole it, and then there was yeush balim, and then you shechted it, you would be chayav for four or five times. Now, if you believe yeush by itself is koneh, why are you chayav four or five times? You already own it. It's yours. Yeush koni, you get the item. It's yours that you shechted. You should be chayav. So Rabbi Yochanan proves from this against Mishlachus Shita that yeush by itself cannot be sufficient to create a kinyan. So the answer back is Amalei hachamai skinan gonshik dishu abalim biyad ganav, that the balim were makdishit while it was still with the ganav. Umikadosh. Wait a minute. That doesn't work. How can the balim be makdish something that's in the hands of the ganav? Yes, it is his. The object is his right now. So he should be able to be makdish it. So why can't he be makdish it? V'amar Rav Yochanan, gazal v'lo nityashu balim. Person who steals something, but the balim don't give up hope. Shnehem einam yocholim makdish. Neither party can be makdish it. Zeh defish eino shelo, the ganav, because he doesn't own it. V'zeh defish eino b'shuto, and the balim, because they don't have control over it. In order to be makdish something, you need both ownership and control. The ganav lacks ownership, the balim lack control. That's the case here. How can you set up the scenario here as a case, kugon shik tisho balim, but yada ganav, that the balim were makdishit while the ganav had it? They can't be makdishit, they don't have enough control to be makdishit. Amre, hu damar bit kitznuim. Mishlakish holds like the tznuim, unlike Rabbi Yochanan, who says that a balim can't be makdishit when they don't have control. Mishlakish holds like the tznuim, it's none from the Mishnah in Meso Sheni. So this is a scenario, the case there in Ma'aseh Sheni is talking about a case where it is the fourth year of these fruits. They are Netta Revai, they are Kerem Revai, they are fruits that have the Kedusha like Ma'aseh Sheni. They need to be taken by the Balim up to Yerushalayim. So now, he has these fruits growing in his field. What the Mishnah says, the beginning of that Mishnah, and the beginning of the fifth parak says, is that they used to delineate or demarcate what was that the Revai or Kerem Revai. They used to put white, or they used to put clods of earth there to show that it was Revai. So that people stole it, they would know that it was Revai, and they need to be Mechalel it. Next day on the Mishnah is, let him drop dead. If he wants to steal it, and it's Revai, let him sin. Who said he's allowed to steal? Why are we protecting Ganavim? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel then says, oh, the scenario here is in Shvi'it. It's the Shvi'it, it's a Hefker year, when people are allowed to come into your property. So that's why you have to mark that they were Revai, because now it's Hefker and people are going to come in and take it, but they won't know it's Revai. So you need to indicate it, you need to tell them that it's Revai. Then this is the after that, the third section of the Mishnah is what we just quoted now, which is that the Tznuim used to set aside money and say, whoever takes from this fruit, they are redeemed onto this money. Just like by Ma'aseh Sheni, you can redeem the fruits and take the money up to Yerushalayim. Same thing with Revai. You can redeem it and then take the money up to Yerushalayim. So the Tznuim put aside money to redeem all that's here. The Rambam over there says that that's talking about a case of Shvi'it. The case of Shvi'it, when they do this, but most of the other Mefarshim believe that it's not just in Shvi'it, it's even in other years they used to do this. And that's basically, based on our Gemara here, that's what it sounds like. That here's a case where it's even not in Shvi'it, where the person has no permission to go in there and take it, and he's stealing it. The Tznuim say, you know what, I'm going to make it that even if someone steals it, the Revai will be redeemed onto the money that I have here. Now, what's the definition of a tsanua? It's not the definition that we think of, like a tsanua, which is someone who holds themselves modestly, but rather, the way that it's defined is someone who is fastidious in mitzvot, wants to ensure that things are done properly and correctly. And so these individuals who are worried about other people sinning, you know, because of them, so they put this money aside and say, whoever takes from these fields, it'll be redeemed onto here. What they are doing is basically protecting this ganav from sinning with the revai. The ganav walks off with the fruit, and all of a sudden he says, well, if that's the case, then the fruits are now redeemed on my money. How could he do that? How could he be mechalel if it's not in his possession? Now, there's an assumption here in the Gemara, which is a difficult assumption, and Tosafot deals with that and says it's very problematic, is that redemption is the same as hekdesh. Just like you can be makdish, something that's in the hand of the ganav, so too you can be mechalel, something that's in the hands of the ganav, or it's really the other way around here in our Gemara. Just like the Mishnah says you can redeem something that's in the hands of the ganav, so too you can be makdish, something in the hands of the ganav. Tosafot said that's fundamentally flawed, that logic, because you're allowed to redeem someone else's Maiser Sheni. You're allowed to redeem someone else's Revai. But you can't be Makdish, someone else's property. So there's an inconsistency here in the din because Chilul and Hekdesh don't have the same din. So what Bali Tosafot say is that actually Revai is an unusual type of Hekdesh. That Hekdesh, once you are Makdish it, it left the possession of the Balim. Moshe Balim Yecholim Liftoto Kovgen Acher. So if the Balim can redeem it, that means that anybody else can redeem it because of the fact that it's now in the possession of Hekdesh. So if it's in the possession of Hekdesh, the rights of the Balim to redeem it are no different than any third party here because they are a third party, the Balim. In our scenario of Revai, it never leaves the reshut of the Balim. Because yes, it's Mukdash to take it up to Yushalayim, but it's the Balim that need to take it up to Yushalayim, and it's the Balims, the Mamon Balim, in the sense that they are able to eat it in Yerushalayim. So therefore, over here, you can prove from this chilul of Kerem Revai to Hekdesh when it's not in the Reshut of the Balim. Because the case or the scenario here is a case where they still own it. Even after they're Magdishit or it's Kadosh but Kerem Revai, the Balim really still have ownership of here. And when the Ganavim walk off with it, the fact that you're able to be a Mechalelet shows you that you have sufficient ability to interact with the object even though it's not under your control. If that's true by Chilul, we're going to say the same thing by Hekdesh, by Mimakdish, the item. Based on that, Rish Lakish will now say, unlike Rabbi Yochanan, that you can be Makdish. The owners can be Makdish something when it's in the hands of the Ganav. Once you do that, then I solve no problem, because that's the scenario here of this Braita, Ganav Vigdish. The Ganav stole it, and then the Balim were Makdish it after it was in the hands of the Ganav. V'chakach Tavach, and then the Ganav shechs it. Mishalem Tashlume Kefil. When he pays Kefil, he doesn't pay Abar V'chamisha. The reason being is because the Ganav never owns it. It's never really in his possession in order to be Chayev Arba V'Chamisha. When the Balim changed it into the ownership of Hekdesh, they were successful. As being successful in bringing it into the hands of Hekdesh, that it's not Biyad HaGanav. It's not Biyad HaGanav. It can't be Chayev Arba V'Chamisha. Because it's not in his possession, it's actually in the possession of Hekdesh. Once you do that, you can't be Chayev for the Mechira or the Tavicha Arba V'Chamisha. And that's how Reish Lakish will explain the case. He'll say it's all before Yeush. So what happened over here? The Ganav took it. The Balim were Makdishit and successful being Makdishit, and now he's not Chayav Arba V'Chamisha when he shechs it because it's in the possession of Hekdesh, not the possession of the Ganav. In order for the Ganav to be Chayav, it's going to be in his possession when he shechs it. Now it's in the possession of Hekdesh, and the Balim were successful in putting it into Hekdesh's possession. Now Gemara says, wait a minute. V'rei Chazra Keren LeBalim. If that's the case, then why is he Chayav Kefel? The same reason that he's not Chayav Arba V'Chamisha should make it that he's also not Chayav Kefel. Because the Karen, or the principal amount, is now with the Balim. Since they are able to be Makdishit, it's as if they have ownership over it. If they have ownership over it, then the Ganav is not going to be Chayav Kefil, because that's even in Sabiado to find in his hand. Where it says, Kishamamad Bedin. He went already to court. The Balim went to court, and they got the court to declare that this was a stolen item. So that's where it says, Echidami, what's the case? Idam Reit Zain Betain Lo, if Beitin Paskind, and came to a final conclusion, told the Ganav, go pay him. Then, Mayiria Hikdish. Why do you need Hekdesh? Afilo lo Hikdish. Even if the Balim were not Makdishit, Nami lo lechayve. Then you won't have to be Chayav. Why? Domarova. Say Tainlo. Tavachu machar patur. If Beitin Paskins said you have to go give it back, and then he goes in and shechs it or sells it, he's patur. My taiva. Came into Paskua the Milte. Since Beitin already gave a psakalocha, it's as if the Ganav's holding it as a pikadon, and has to now return it to the original balim. B'tavachu machar, and now if he shechs it or sells it, havelei gazlan. He's no longer a ganav, he's now a gazlan, because he's holding a pikadon that everybody knows that he's holding as a pikadon, and now he shechs it or he sells it, that's clearly gazlanut. He's stealing broad daylight. He's taking away what doesn't belong to him. And a gazlan, einu mishalim, arba b'chamisha, doesn't pay 4 or 5 times. So now, if that was the case, that you said he went to Beit Din, and that's why the balim get kefil here, that's not going to work, because it was something that was now in the hands of the ganav as a pikadon, and when he does something to it, he's a gazlan, and gazlanim are not chayav kefil, not chayav arba v'chamisha. Chayav atadli tenlo. Beit Din tells him, you are going to have to pay. They don't come to the final gemar din, but they basically say, you are a chayav to give it to him. So now, tavachu machar mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Four, he pays 4 or 5 times now. My daima, kevin delo paska milto akate ganavu. Since you didn't give a psak halacha, he's still a ganav. Why you are chayav, arba v'chamisha, where the Beit Din doesn't come to a final psak, is because chayav atadli tenlo just means you're supposed to pay him. But that means that the gneva still remains as a gneva in your hand until that point in time. If that's the case, then you're chayav arba v'chamisha, you're toveach u'mocher. Lo tzricha da'amrei lei chayav atadli tenlo. That's exactly what happened. Our case here is the case of Amad B'Din. The Balim didn't have Yehush. They went to Din, and Beit Din says to the guy who stole it, you're going to have to repay it. You're chayav to repay it. They didn't give psak halacha yet, but they say you're chayav to pay it. So in that case, it's still in the possession of the ganav, or it's still classified as a gneva. So the scenario here is where they already are Amad B'Din before he was makdish at the balim. So then when they're Amad B'Din, that creates a scenario where he's chayav in the kefel already, before he was makdishit, and therefore it didn't return to the possession of the original balim. That's why he's chayav kefel. Again, it's not a case where he paskined or Beit Din gave it gemar din that he's chayav to give it back, where he said tzein v'tein lo, because if that's the case, the reason you don't have to pay 4 or 5 times without the hekdesh is because then he'd be a gazlan at that point. So it's a case where he says chayav v'tein lo, Beit Din said you're going to have to pay him back. So in that case, they already paskined as far as the gneva is concerned that he's chayav, and that's why he's chayav kefel. But as far as arba v'chamisha, he would be chayav arba v'chamisha now if he shechted it, because it still hasn't come to the psak halach or the gemar din where it puts it as a pikadon with him, but rather he still has the gneva in his hand. If that's the case, if he then shechted it, he'd be chayav arba v'chamisha. But then when the balim are makdish it, then they make it that you can't be chayav arba v'chamisha, because then they're moving it into the possession of hekdesh. And if that's the case, he won't be chayav arba v'chamisha because he was makdish it. How is he makdish it? This is Reish Lakish according to the Tznuim, who say that the balim can be makdish it when it is in the possession of the ganav. Even though you don't have control, you're able to be makdishit. Since you're able to be makdishit, then the arba v'chamisha you're not going to be chayav for, because then when the ganav checks it, he's shechting that which belongs to Ekdesh, not that which belongs to the balim. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Samach Teremot Aleph.